This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Welcome, 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 my friends, to another exciting edition. That's right. KMOX is at your service. KMOX is at your service here on a beautiful Tuesday night, as you heard Maria Keenan talk about how awesome it is outside, kind of like early spring, just like she said. Very pleasant outside. Going to be even better tomorrow. Hey, welcome to KMOX is at your service. My name's Greg Damon, and man, I tell you what, we're gonna have a lot of fun tonight here on the 2 hours we're on, all the way till 10 o'clock. We're going to go all the way till 10 o'clock. But before we kick it off, I got a pet peeve, and I'm just going to throw it out there. That's right. It's one of my pet peeves, and I'm thinking, you know, all the stuff that's happened and a lot of fast food workers getting paid more and more, I don't understand why they're so rude when you go through the drive-thru. Now, trust me, I'm a big guy. I love my fast food. But I don't understand why it's so hard for them to be nice, and you never hear them say thank you anymore. Maybe not Chick-fil-A. They're pretty awesome. But all the other ones, hey, have a nice day. Nope. Hey, how about thanks for buying your product? That's went up exponentially. I hope you feel the same as well. Hey, we're going to have some fun tonight here on KMOX. I got to tell you, folks, I am so excited for this next guest. Man, he's the myth, the mystery. He's the machine. You know, since I've been here on KMOX, 22 years now, I've been able to meet just some amazing people, some awesome people. This guy has got to be right towards the top of my list. I'm happy to call him my friend, Ron Jacober, Media Hall of Fame. What Hall of Fame is he not a part of? Ron Jacober has been kind enough to spend some time with us here on At Your Service, and we welcome him to the program. Ron, how are you?
Well, I'm pretty good. 5 Halls of Fame, by the way, in case you're counting.
I need a score sheet. That's what I need.
No, I'm pretty good, Greg. I've been trying to stay busy as I want to be. You know, you don't want to, after you're tired, you don't want to be busy all the time. But I've got a few things going, and it keeps me hopping and keeps me interested in life and in sports and that kind of thing. So.
Well, you know, one of the reasons I have you on, I mean, obviously, you know, when I first started here And just in awe of everybody here at KMOX, you know, a longtime listener before I ever started working here. And you were one of the first people I met, and you were always awesome to me the entire time.
Well, you're very kind. You and Kenny Wallace told me everything that I know, which isn't a lot, about auto racing. Because I was pretty ignorant. That's one of the things I didn't follow very much. But you taught me a lot, as did Kenny Wallace.
That's right. You're the fastest thing out there, baby.
Yeah, what a piece of work he is, boy.
Yeah, you know,
what a good guy.
He is such a great guy, and you know, Ron, that's one of the things. And you know, you think about the countless interviews that you've done over your career. He's one of my favorite interviews as well. And people always ask me, like, you know, what's he like off the air? He's just so, you know, he's always on when when you're talking to him. It's like, yeah, he's like that all the time. He's like
all the time. I don't know who winds him up in the morning, but whoever it is, I'd like to have some of that. Yeah, he's really good. But you know, I'm fine. I'm keeping kind of busy. I'm involved with a few things, and it keeps me going. I'm kind of active in the Knights of Columbus at our church, but in addition to that, I'm one of the founders of the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame. So I've been involved with that for all these years, for 16, 17 years, whatever it's been. And then I'm president of a thing called the 1-2-3 Club, which is a very unique group of guys. The 1-2-3 Club is 77 years old this year. It was started, 77 years ago, downtown by a few newspaper guys and some baseball front office people who got together frequently downtown, excuse me, at a saloon downtown for lunch. And a pop or two, and then they'd go to work. The newspaper guys would. They'd be from 1 to 3. Greg, I'm going to have to take a little drink here. Hang on.
Nope, no problem. No problem.
I did something I shouldn't have done. I ate a cookie before you came on. Anyway, they met from 1 until 3. They started calling it the 1-2-3 Club. And it's existed for 77 years. It's a very unique group. As far as we know, there's no other club like it in the country. In fact, Sports Illustrated did a story on the club a few years ago. It's a bunch of sports guys, and it's former pro athletes, college athletes, coaches, front office people, some media people, officials, referees, and umpires and things like that. Not a big group. We meet every other Monday. And for many years, they met every Monday, but it's been every other Monday now. And we meet at Mike Duffy's restaurant in Kirkwood, and we have lunch and we argue and talk about sports. It's a very limited membership. You can't just join. You have to be nominated by a member, and then you have to attend a couple of lunches, and then there's a secret ballot, believe it or not, sent out. But we're restricted by our own bylaws for a little over 50 members. We get 30, 35 many, many Mondays. And so I've been president of that for a couple of years, and that's kind of kept me busy. But it's a neat group of people because it's so diverse. I usually make up an agenda of things we're going to talk about. And like yesterday we met and we did hockey. Of course, we did soccer was the big story after what happened over the weekend. And baseball, the World Series, and we talk about things that you may not think about, but we discuss some social activities in sports, and then we go and we meet for an hour and a half, and go home. But it's fun to do, and it keeps your brain working. But anyway. That's kind of the stuff I've been doing.
Well, remember, if you're going to nominate me, there's only one G, okay? Not two Gs at the end, all right?
There you go.
Well, that's fantastic, Ron. I mean, I remember my dad, when he retired, he says, look, I'm busier now than I was when I was working.
Yeah, well, I'm not quite that way. But today, we did clean out the garage because it needed it. And I probably mulched 25 million leaves in the yard with my John Deere rider. And so, you know, it was such a nice day.
Oh, my gosh.
hard to stay indoors in November. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. No doubt about it. Hey, Ron, I got to do some business, but I know that you're going to hang with me, and I appreciate that for sure.
Sure.
All right, fantastic. Folks, we are visiting with longtime KMOXer Ron Jacober here on At Your Service, but we got to do a little business here. We'll be back. More conversations. Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Welcome back, everyone. 8:17 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. And this is KMOX's At Your Service. Greg Damon hanging out with you all the way till 10 o'clock tonight. But more importantly, we have the man, the myth, the mystery, the legend. That is Ron Jacober, and he joins us again here on the program. Again, Ron, I can't thank you enough for hanging out with us tonight.
Well, you're very kind. One thing I didn't mention earlier is that I like to write, and I've helped write two Cardinal books that have been very successful and published by a local company called Reedy Press. And this is really a wonderful publishing company. They've got, 200, 250 titles out there all over the country. But these two books, 11 Immortal Moments in Cardinal History and Cardinal 64, which is one of the great seasons in Cardinal history. One of the more memorable ones, and they've both been very successful, big hardcover coffee table books. So that's taken up a lot of time over the last 2 or 3 years, too.
Well, I might have to get some autographed copies of those.
You're certainly welcome. They're for sale.
Absolutely. I'm more than happy to buy them if you sign them for me.
Well, Barnes & Noble and, of course, Amazon and all that. But, I tell people, Greg, when I do some speaking yet, especially young people. I said, in my next life, I'm going to have to get a real job because this one was too much fun. And it was a total accidental career. I mean, this was not planned at all. I had no intention when I got out of college of going into broadcasting. And I don't want to bore you with the whole story.
Well, I think for the KMOX listeners out in KMOX land, I think they should know the whole story, how you got started and everything else.
Yeah. Well, when I had a degree in journalism from SIU Carbondale, and I thought I would be a writer for a newspaper or something, but I went in the Army for a while, and when I got out, I got a job in public relations for the Auto Club of Missouri, AAA. And one of the things when I was a newbie there that we did in the fall was go to radio stations with a public service campaign, Drive Safely Schools Open. And I was calling on a radio station in Belleville, WYBV. And the general manager there said, you did some radio work in college, didn't you? I said, I had a one-hour course. It was just a lark because I could take an extra course or two. And he said, how would you like a part-time job? I said, when? He said, how about tonight? Well, I didn't do it that night. Apparently, they lost somebody or somebody got fired or something. So I came home and talked to Lois, my wife, and we had two little boys at home. I said, you know, it might be kind of fun to try that on a weekend for a little while. Well, I wound up working weekends over there, at least one weekend, sometimes two. So I was working 7 days a week, and I really enjoyed it. I had to drive to Belleville, but it got to the point where the 7 days a week started wearing on me. So I was about ready to say, well, that was fun. And Bob Hardy, one of the legendary news guys in the history of St. Louis radio, lived in Belleville in that area over there, and he heard me. And he called me and said, you know, Ron, we're looking for a part-time weekender at KMOX. Would you be interested? That was like God calling me. He said, oh, my God, are you kidding me? So I came down. He said, you got to come down and cut an audition tape for Bob Island before I can hire you, but I think you'd be fine. So I came down, cut a tape. So I wound up working weekends again. This time, though, it was at KMOX, not WIBV in Belleville. And eventually they started talking full-time, and I won't go through the whole thing, but I went to work full-time at KMOX, left the auto club, and I was a gopher there. I was, you know, do anything they wanted to do, work any hours of the day and that kind of thing. And I had been there a year and a half, and Jay Randolph had been there, the legendary Jay Randolph, and he went to Channel 5. And I called Jay one day. I said, Jay, you know, this is a great radio station, one of the best in America, but there's so much great talent here. I'm just not getting anywhere, I don't think. And he said, oh, my God, we're looking to hire another guy at Channel 5. I'd love to have you over there. When can you come over and cut an audition? I said, well, you tell me. He said, how about 10:30 tonight? So I went over after the 10 o'clock news, sat down, they put me in front of a camera, did a sportscast, and they hired me the next day. So I was there for 18 years and then left because we had a general manager who didn't like my style. He wanted me to clown around, and I said, I will not do that. I've got too much credibility and blood on the floor here. And he said, well, we'll find somebody who will. I said, well, it's your television station.
Right.
So I wound up back at KMOX, which was I was one of the few people that Robert Hyland or Bob Hyland ever hired back, but it was 18 years later. So I wound up at KMOX for another 28 years and 25 of those years as the sports director. So that was this accidental career that I never had any intention of doing, but turned out that it was what I should be doing, obviously. But I tell young people that story, and they just shake their head. You got to be kidding me. You know, that's the way it happened. That's the way it happened.
Yeah, you know.
But I keep telling him, Greg, you know, when you get the opportunity, when the door opens, you got to perform. You got to do it.
Right.
You know, that's the best advice I can give you.
Nope, you're exactly right. You know, I kind of fell backwards into it. Well, I was playing hockey and met Tom Langmeier, and he asked me one day if I'd be interested in doing an auto show on KMOX. And I'm like, wait a minute, you're talking to KMOX? And I'm like, you know, longtime listener,
right.
Of course. And
right.
And so came down and auditioned for Steve Moore. And actually, this is going to date me here. John Grayson had just started and was doing weekends, and I was on with him. That was my first foray into radio.
Yeah. But it's been a great career. I have absolutely no regrets. In fact, I miss it, to tell you the truth. People said, oh, do you miss it? I said, absolutely, I miss it. I enjoyed it so much, and it was so rewarding for me And now there were tough times. There were down times. There were times that things didn't go the way I had hoped they would, and didn't always get the job that I wanted and that kind of thing. But that's life. But it was a very rewarding career.
Yeah, I tell you, Ron, one of my most memorable Ron Jacober stories was they called everybody down to KMOX and had a big meeting, and that's when we lost the Cardinals. And I remember giving a speech to everybody like, hey, we're going to be okay. It's going to work out.
Yeah, and so, we were.
Yep.
And we are.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But there isn't much I haven't done. I guess that's what I tell a lot of young people. What'd you do? Well, you know, in addition to many thousands of hours of talk radio, you know, I did the Cardinals on Channel 5. I did the Blues on KMOX. I did hundreds of soccer games. I did college basketball on ESPN. I did the Olympics for CBS. There isn't much that I haven't done. You know, I always kind of craved for that big network job, which never happened for whatever reason. But I can't look back with any regret.
Well, I tell you, all of us here in St. Louis absolutely have loved you ever since you've been on. You know, you're one of those guys that you have that iconic radio voice. That we love to hear on the radio. That kind of soothing, that calming, that very confident voice. Like, this is the way it is, and we love listening to you for sure.
Yeah, the funny part of that is people have asked me, "Well, I bet you had a lot of voice training, didn't you?" I said, "I had none, zero."
Right.
It's just the voice that God gave me. So you know, I was fortunate in that regard.
So what did you like doing the best, Ron? Out of all the jobs you've done, whether it be radio or TV, what do you think was the best?
That's a really good question. I don't know if I've ever been asked that question before. I really enjoyed putting together specials. I enjoyed long-form interviews, and I did a lot of those. Those were always a challenge. But a good challenge. Some of my more memorable interviews were Muhammad Ali, for example. I was the only media guy in St. Louis, really, that interviewed him several times, and it was just kind of the way that happened. There was a police captain in St. Louis named Jim Reddick, and Jim Reddick befriended Muhammad Ali or Cassius Clay when he was an amateur fighter in Louisville. And whenever Ali or Clay would come to St. Louis, he would visit Jim Reddick. For whatever reason, Reddick liked me, and he would call me and say, the champ's going to be in town, going to be at the precinct at this date, at this time. Do you want to come down? So I went down with a Channel 5 camera crew and did these memorable interviews with Muhammad Ali. I mean, he was, I found him to be a very charming guy. But as soon as he turned the lights on, got the microphone out, he went into his act. Sometime during the early part of his career, somebody got a hold of him, I think, and said, you got to have a shtick. You got to do something. And that's when he went into this act. But I remember one time he told me how he was going to fight his next fighter, which was a guy named the Bayonne Bleeder, Chuck Wepner from Bayonne, New Jersey. They call him the Bayonne Bleeder. And he went through this act and got up out of his chair and did both parts. He did Chuck Wepner, and he did Muhammad Ali. And I told him one time, I said, you just kind of slowed down a little bit. I thought, slowed down? He said, I'll hit you before God gets the news. And the last time I talked to him, I remember I was leaving, this was still Channel 5 days, I was leaving the station on a Friday night. It was after the 10 o'clock news. And normally I wouldn't answer the phone at 10:45, but for some reason that night I did, as I was walking out. And it was a guy who said, I just want to tell you that Muhammad Ali is going to be in town tomorrow morning for a march for the hungry people of the world with Dick Gregory, the activist comedian, who I knew in college a little bit. He was an SIU Carbondale guy. And I said, who is this? He said, I can't tell you. So I wasn't sure whether it was going to happen or not. But I left a note for the assignment desk, said, this may be bogus, but meet me at this address on Page Avenue at 10 o'clock with a crew. And I got my Dave and Jeff, my two sons, up. They were, I don't know, 8 and 9, 9 and 10, something like that. And where are we going? He's just come with me. So we drove to this address on Page Avenue. We got there early. And there were two guys standing in this vacant lot with weeds, ankle-deep weeds, Dick Gregory and Muhammad Ali. And so we got out of the car, and I went up, talked to him again. And I don't know if he remembered me or not, but he claimed he did. And he shadow boxed with the kids, signed autographs. Pretty soon, people started coming. It was turns out it was a legitimate activity, a legitimate march.
Wow.
Police eventually came, and a big crowd came. A bi-state bus stopped. The bus driver got off and said, "Oh, my God, that's Muhammad Ali." Got back on the bus and drove off. And so anyway, it was the last time when he was really capable of much of an interview. And he was going to fight a sumo wrestler named Antonio Inoki, a big guy, because he needed the money. You know, he just didn't save any money. He had all of his people around him. And I covered his fight in Las Vegas when Leon Spinks beat him. And he must have had an entourage of 40, 45 people. And of course, they all got paid. Right. But anyway, he was going to fight this Antonio Inoki. And I said, "Champ, this guy's going to kill you. He weighs 450 pounds. What in the world are you doing?" He said, "Who are you, the local Howard Cosell?" And then he said, "I like your show. And I like your style, but your pay is so cheap, I won't be back for a while." And that was the last time I was able to interview him. He was in town a couple of times after that, but he was not capable of talking. But that was one of the more memorable ones that I did. But there were others. There were others.
Let's take a quick break, Ron, and I'll come back. We'll get some more stories. How's that?
I'm sorry. I'm talking my...
No. I love it. I love it. And so does everybody else. Hang on with me a few more minutes, all right? Folks, we're visiting with Ron Jacober here on At Your Service. Tell you what, the guy's got all sorts of stories. Legendary Ron Jacober. This is At Your Service, KMOX. Tuesday night At Your Service right here on KMOX. Hope you're having a great time. Greg Damon hanging out with you all the way till 10 o'clock. But on the phone, we are talking with the legend, Ron Jacober. Again, Ron, thanks for hanging out with us, man. Love talking to you.
Hey, you're very kind. Good to call. I enjoy you, and I enjoy talking about things that went on for all these years.
Well, so when we left off, you were talking about interviewing Muhammad Ali, which obviously a colorful character. I'm sure it was amazing. What about some of the other memorable interviews that stick out in your mind that you've done?
Well, there was a basketball coach that died this past week.
Bobby Knight.
Coach at Indiana. Yes. And this is not a long story, but back in the day, I can't remember what year, but the several college commissioners or athletic directors, for some reason, were upset with the NIT. And they wanted to have a postseason tournament of their own to compete with the NIT. So they called it the Commissioner's Tournament, something like that. And there weren't that many teams going to the NIT in those days. So they decided that the second-place team in these major conferences would come play in this tournament, this Commissioner's Tournament, which turned out to be here at the old arena. And Bobby Knight and Indiana had to come. They finished second of the Big Ten. And Knight didn't want to be here, man.
I was gonna say, he was not happy. I'm sure
he wanted to be in New York. Oh my God, at the arena here as Madison Square Garden. You got to be kidding me. So anyway, he was forced to do this pre-tournament news conference, and he came in, and I could tell he was not happy at all. I remember asking him a question. He looked me in the eye and said, he talked about how to fish for crappie for about 8 minutes and said, that's what I think of your damn tournament, and got up and walked out.
Oh, my gosh.
And there were a couple other things. I remember doing a TV game involving Indiana, and I was supposed to do a pregame thing with him that we were going to record and play it at the beginning of the broadcast. So I asked him two questions, and he said, "This sounds like a scouting report. I'm not doing this." And turned out and walked away. But, Tony La Russa was on with me for 10 years on Sunday mornings. That was always a challenge because I liked Tony, but Tony didn't like the dumb, stupid questions. So it was I had to really prepare for that. But he paid me an ultimate comment, I think, or compliment. He said, "I respect your knowledge and your passion for the game of baseball." I say, well, that's about as good as I can get from Tony La Russa.
That's an amazing compliment.
There were so many others, Greg. There were so many others.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of my favorites is Big Red Football. Miss it. Miss it tremendously. And, you know,
yeah, I agree with you.
What's really funny, so my kids, you know, they're really into jerseys and they, you know, they cheer for different teams and really, really want to wear, like my one son's probably got, I don't know, 20 different jerseys that he wears differently all the time. So I bought a Dan Dierdorf St. Louis Cardinals jersey, and that's what I wear on Sundays.
Well, good for you, Dan. Double D was one of the great players, not just in the history of the Cardinals, but in the history of the game. He was one of the outstanding linemen, offensive linemen ever, and he's really paying the price for that now physically, you know, because he got so beat up playing the game. But some of those guys turned out to be good friends. Jimmy Hart was one of my best friends later on. Jim Bakken, the kicker, we call him Bags. His nickname was Bags. And he said, kickers aren't football players. But he was a good athlete. I remember they had a home run hitting contest at Busch 2 when they opened that. And he was involved with it. And he jacked a few of them out. He was a heck of an athlete. Could hit a golf ball 1,000 miles, you know. But he was their kicker. Jackie Smith, one of the greatest all-time tight ends, is I still see Jackie on occasion, and that was good times. You know, I look back on that and realize that could have been much more successful. I got to know Bill Bidwell pretty well, who was the owner. Bill and his brother Starmy owned the team. Now they were adopted, and their personalities were polar opposite. And we're convinced that Bill didn't know how to run it. He just didn't know how to run a football team. Not a bad guy, contributed a lot to charity very quietly, but we're convinced that if Starmy had kept the team, that they might still be here. They just didn't get along at all, and somebody convinced them, look, one of you guys got to buy the other guy out, and that's what happened, and so Bill got the team. But they had some pretty good years. Don Coryell was a really a piece of work there. I remember Bakken telling me one time, he said, if Coryell cries again at halftime, I'm going to throw up. Because he was so emotional. But he was a good coach, but it didn't last too long. You know,
right.
He was a great offensive genius. And in the cardiac Cardinal years, those two or three, 4 years there, they were really very good, but didn't do anything in the postseason. So a lot of those guys didn't get the notoriety they should have gotten.
Nope, you're exactly right. You know, Ron, my favorite St. Louis Cardinal was Conrad Dobler. You know, I got the chance to meet him one time. He was, you know, one of my idols growing up. But I loved your talks when you talked to Tom Banks, like on Sports on a Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah.
The stories that he would tell about that.
Yeah, Banks and Dobler. Boy, you talk about two characters. I got to know Dobler pretty well, Connie. We inducted him in the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame.
Right.
And he had like 12 or 13 surgeries on his knee. In fact, they wanted to cut his leg off at the knee, and because it got so bad, there was nothing left there. And he refused; he wouldn't let them do it. But he was in a lot of pain for most of his post-playing career. But you know, he was called the meanest man at football. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as the nastiest man. I think it was the dirtiest player.
Yeah.
Yeah, dirtiest player, because he claimed that he didn't bite any other player in the ear because he believed in good hygiene. I'll never forget that interview. But Tommy Lasorda was an interesting character for me, too. I got to know him some in the 1985 playoffs in Dodger Stadium when Jack Clark hit the home run in Game 6. That put the Cardinals into the World Series. You know, the short version of that is he should have never pitched to Clark, because Clark was the only guy that could beat him in that situation. But he did, and I'll never forget Pedro Guerrero in left field throwing his glove down to the ground like a little leaguer when the ball sailed over his head into the bleachers in Dodger Stadium. But anyway, he should have never done that. And he lived with that forever. But he was... for many years, I emceed a dinner called Men's Dinner Against Cancer. So they brought Tommy in as the speaker one time. So I had to introduce him. So I thought, well, you know what? It might be kind of fun to play the Jack Buck call of the Jack Clark home run, introducing Tommy Lasorda. Oh, my God, did he get upset with me.
Really?
If looks would have killed, I wouldn't be here. He was ticked off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Tuesday night at your service right here on KMOX. Hope you're having a great time. Greg Damon hanging out with you all the way till 10 o'clock. But on the phone, we are talking with the legend, Ron Jacoburn. Again, Ron, thanks for hanging out with us, man. Love talking to you.
Hey, you're very kind. Good to call. I enjoy you, and I enjoy talking about things that went on over all these years.
Well, so when we left off, you were talking about interviewing Muhammad Ali, which... obviously, a colorful character. I'm sure it was amazing. What about some of the other memorable interviews that stick out in your mind that you've done?
Well, there was a basketball coach that died this past week.
Bobby Knight.
He coached at Indiana. Yes, and this is not a long story, but back in the day, I can't remember what year, but the several college commissioners our athletic directors, for some reason, were upset with the NIT, and they wanted to have a postseason tournament of their own to compete with the NIT. So they called it the Commissioner's Tournament, something like that. And there weren't that many teams going to the NIT in those days. So they decided that the second-place team in these major conferences would come play in this tournament, this Commissioner's Tournament, which turned out to be here at the old arena. And Bobby Knight and Indiana had to come. They finished second of the Big Ten. And Knight didn't want to be here, man.
I was going to say, he was not happy. I'm sure.
He wanted to be in New York. Oh, my God. At the arena here as Madison Square Garden? You got to be kidding me. So anyway, he was forced to do this pre-tournament news conference. And he came in, and I could tell he was not happy at all. I remember asking him a question. He looked me in the eye and said, he talked about how to fish for crappie for about 8 minutes and said, that's what I think of your damn tournament, and got up and walked out.
Oh, my gosh.
And there were a couple other things. I remember doing a TV game involving Indiana, and I was supposed to do a pregame thing with him that we were going to record and play it at the beginning of the broadcast. So I asked him two questions, and he said, this sounds like a scouting report. I'm not doing this. Turned out and walked away. But, Tony La Russa was on with me for 10 years on Sunday mornings. That was always a challenge because I liked Tony, but Tony didn't like the dumb, stupid questions. So it was I had to really prepare for that. But he paid me an ultimate comment, I think, or compliment. He said, I respect your knowledge and your passion for the game of baseball. I say, well, that's about as good as I can get from Tony La Russa.
That's an amazing compliment.
There were so many others, Greg. There were so many others.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorites is Big Red Football. Miss it. Miss it tremendously. And,
yeah, I agree with you.
What's really funny, so my kids, they're really into jerseys, and they cheer for different teams and really – really want to wear, like my one son's probably got, I don't know, 20 different jerseys that he wears differently all the time. So I bought a Dan Dierdorf St. Louis Cardinals jersey, and that's what I wear on Sundays.
Well, good for you, Dan. Double D was one of the great players, not just in the history of the Cardinals, but in the history of the game. He was one of the outstanding linemen, offensive linemen ever. And he's really paying the price for that now physically, because he got so beat up playing the game. But some of those guys turned out to be good friends. Jimmy Hart was one of my best friends later on. Jim Bakken, the kicker. We called him Bags. His nickname was Bags. And he said, kickers aren't football players. But he was a good athlete. I remember they had a home run hitting contest at Busch 2 when they opened that. And he was involved with it. And he jacked a few of them out. He was a heck of an athlete. Could hit a golf ball 1,000 miles, But he was there. He was their kicker. Jackie Smith, one of the greatest all-time tight ends. I still see Jackie on occasion. And that was good times. I look back on that and realize that could have been much more successful. I got to know Bill Bidwell pretty well, who was the owner. Bill and his brother Starmie owned the team. Now they were adopted, and their personalities were polar opposite. And we're convinced that Bill didn't know how to run it. He just didn't know how to run a football team. Not a bad guy. Contributed a lot to charity very quietly. But we're convinced that if Starmie had kept the team, that they might still be here. They just didn't get along at all. And somebody convinced them, look, one of you guys got to buy the other guy out. And that's what happened. And so Bill got the team. But they had some pretty good years. Don Coryell was a really a piece of work there. I remember Bakken telling me one time, he said, if Coryell cries again at halftime, I'm going to throw up. Because he was so emotional that but he was a good coach, but it didn't last too long,
Right.
He was a great offensive genius. And in the cardiac Cardinal years, those two or three, 4 years there, they were really very good, but didn't do anything in the postseason. So a lot of those guys didn't get the notoriety they should have gotten.
Nope, you're exactly right. Ron, my favorite St. Louis Cardinal was Conrad Dobler. I got the chance to meet him one time. He was, one of my idols growing up. But I loved your talks when you talked to Tom Banks, like on Sports on a Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah.
The stories that he would tell about that.
Yeah, Banks and Dobler. Well, you talk about two characters. I got to know Dobler pretty well, Connie. We inducted him in the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame.
Right.
And he had like 12 or 13 surgeries on his knee. In fact, they wanted to cut his leg off at the knee, and because it got so bad, there was nothing left there, and he refused. He wouldn't let them do it. But he was in a lot of pain for most of his post playing career. But, you know, he was called the meanest man at football. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as the nastiest man, I think it was, or the dirtiest
the
man dirty, or something
dirtiest
like
player,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, dirtiest player, because he claimed that he didn't bite any other player in the ear because he believed in good hygiene. I'll never forget that interview. But Tommy Lasorda was an interesting character for me, too. I got to know him some in the 1985 playoffs in Dodger Stadium when Jack Clark hit the home run in Game 6. That put the Cardinals into the World Series. You know, the short version of that is he should have never pitched to Clark because Clark was the only guy that could beat him in that situation. But he did, and I'll never forget Pedro Guerrero in left field throwing his glove down to the ground like a little leaguer when the ball sailed over his head into the bleachers in Dodger Stadium. But anyway, he should have never done that. And he lived with that forever. But he was... for many years, I emceed a dinner called Men's Dinner Against Cancer. So they brought Tommy in as the speaker one time. So I had to introduce him. So I thought, well, you know what? It might be kind of fun to play the Jack Buck call of the Jack Clark home run, introducing Tommy Lasorda. Oh, my God, did he get upset with me.
Really?
If looks would have killed, I wouldn't be here. He was ticked off. But so continuing that story, later on, Dodgers were playing a game in St. Louis. He was still the manager. It was a day game, and he made a couple of moves during the game that we questioned, I guess, on Sports of the Line that night, Randy Carricker and I. And then we turned to the Jack Clark thing, talking about the fact he should have never pitched to Clark. Well, we go to commercial, and the producer said, Lasorda's on the phone. I said, yeah, right. He said, no, he is. He was with Charlie Gito. Charlie Gito, the right. restaurant downtown, was his good buddy. So they were driving in the car listening to Sports Open Line, and he heard that. So we put him on. Tommy, good to see you. Thanks for calling. What do you idiots know about baseball? He started screaming at us. And you don't know who was up next. Well, it was Andy Van Slyke. Randy Carricker remembered that. And there was this pregnant pause with what sort of, oh, my God, they remembered. We went on for 8 or 9 minutes, I guess, with him, and very contentious interview. And finally, at the end, I said, Tommy, we love you. The reason that we like you is because, and like baseball, is because we can manage along with you. And, you know, you may be right, you may not be right. We may be not right. We may be right. But we manage along with you, and we love you. Yeah, sure, he said, and hung up the phone. But he was never happy about that introduction of the Men's Dinner Against Cancer when I played the Jack Buck call of Clark home run.
That is amazing. Ron, I'm going to do my final bit of business. We come back. I want to talk a little about the Blues. How's that?
Absolutely.
All right, stick around. Hey, folks, we got Ron Jacober on the phone. Going all the way till 9 o'clock with Ron, but the show's going till 10 o'clock. This is KMOX is at your service. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. 8:50 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. This is KMOX is at your service. Greg Damon hanging out with you till 10 o'clock, but more importantly, KMOXer Ron Jacober is hanging with us till 9. Again, Ron, thanks so much. I can't thank you enough for hanging with us tonight.
You're welcome. By the way, one of the other things I should have mentioned that people still come up to me and to ask me about it was the Harry Caray interviews. I was the only media person that found Harry the day he got fired as the Cardinal announcer by Anheuser-Busch. And I found him. We looked for several of his watering holes, and I found him at Bush's Grove. On wow. Clayton Road there.
Yeah.
And I walked in, he said, Ron, have a Schlitz. And the funny part of that, they didn't sell Schlitz at Bush's Grove. They had to send somebody out to get a six-pack because Harry wanted to drink Schlitz. And it was a memorable interview because he just absolutely unloaded on everything and everybody. And we rushed down Highway 40 with the interview to Channel 5. And we were still film in those days, if you can believe that or not. 6:15, they handed me the film back in projection. And they said, what do you want to do? I said, what do you want to do with it to the producer in the booth? And he said, rack it up and roll it from the top. It was a huge story. Harry was bigger than the team in those days.
Right.
So we played several minutes of it at 6 o'clock news. At 6:35, the phone rings in the sports office, and it's Al Fleischman of Fleischman & Hilliard Public Relations. He was Gussie Bush's left-hand and right-hand man. And he said, son, do you have any idea? how much money Anheuser-Busch spends on Channel 5. I said, no, sir. He said, I suggest you find out, and I also suggest you don't reuse that interview again at 10. And I remember we called the general manager at home. He's, oh, my God, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to play it again at 10. And we played it again at 10. We had a half-hour newscast at midnight in those days, played it again the next day. And I paid for that for a long time because they remembered at the brewery that I did the Carey interview. But I used to see Harry at the ballpark, and when he was in with the Cubs, and he's, I made you famous. I said, no, Harry, you made me infamous, man. But people still come up to me and talk to me about that Harry Carey interview at Bush's Grill.
That's crazy. I never knew that. I was going to ask you if he was actually drinking Slitch. I did hear that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's in his book. It's in his book, the Slitch beer thing. And, I mean, I got to know Harry pretty well, but that was a memorable interview. People still talk to me about that thing.
That's crazy.
I was the only guy that found him that day.
That's crazy. I never knew that. Well, all the memorable things you do, I remember you on the Blues broadcast as well. What's some of the memorable things with the Blues? I mean, just, you know, going back with all the great players, Gary Unger, Mike Liut, Red Berenson.
Yeah, right.
You know.
I called Brett Hull's 500th goal, which I still fondly remember. But, yeah, I was around the Blues for a lot of time, including the Solomons, our Sid Solomon III, when they owned the team. But I saw that this was the anniversary, I think, of Red Berenson's 6 goals in a game back in the first or second year of the Blues in Philadelphia. He scored 6 goals in one game, which tied the league record. Red's still alive. We inducted him a few years ago in the Hall of Fame. But, yeah, Brett Hull was quite a character and a great goal scorer. But there were so many great players. Bernie Fedoko worked with me on the Blues broadcast, so I got to know Bernie really well. He was what a good guy. What a great player he was, by the way. There were so many. Al McGinnis. I mean, there were so many good guys. And the thing I tell about hockey players all the time is how down-to-earth they were, how cooperative they were. Only one time in all the years I was around the team doing games and doing pre- or post-game, only one time did a player tell me no. And I won't go into why, because he was corrected by Blues management when they found out about it. But they're very cooperative guys. Many of them back in those days, anyway, it's become much more of an international game. But many of them back in those days were from small towns in Canada. They were farm boys. They were just happy to be there. Just happy to. They make so much money now, Greg. It's unreal.
Right. They used to have a second job during the summer.
The young guys did. Yeah, absolutely. The young guys did. I remember asking Bernie Fedoko one time how much money he made, the most he ever made. And I think it was a little over $200,000. Now, that won't get you anything. You know, that won't get you the trainer.
That's right. That's a bag of pucks.
That's right. That's right. But those were great. Those were great days. You know, and the Blues were. They captivated this town. Dan Kelly was my mentor. He taught me just about everything I knew about the hockey and about the Blues. And
what a
Dan
great guy.
Died far too young. Yep. Far too young.
Well, we got about a minute left, Ron.
That's fine. Those were great days. My major disappointment in my career is when they called me in after I did the year of play-by-play and said, we're gonna replace you. We need another Kelly in the booth. And it was Danny Kelly, one of Dan's young boys. For whatever reason, they wanted another Kelly. That was probably my greatest disappointment in all the years of broadcast. But those things happen, you know.
Right. Okay. Well, Ron, I want to thank you so much for hanging out with us here tonight.
Hey, it was fun, Greg. Thank you. Thank you. And keep up the good work. And remember the great female driver that you knew.
Yes, my friend Danica Patrick. Well, Ron,
yes,
thanks a lot.
Danica.
Come back and join us another time, will you please?
I'd love to. I'd love to, Greg. Thank you much.
All right. Thanks so much. Folks, that's Ron Jacober. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. 8:50 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. This is KMOX is at your service. Greg Damon hanging out with you until 10 o'clock. But more importantly, KMOXer Ron Jacober is hanging with us till 9. Again, Ron, thanks so much. I can't thank you enough for hanging with us tonight.
You're welcome. By the way, one of the other things I should have mentioned that people still come up to me and ask me about it was the Harry Carey interviews. I was the only media person that found Harry the day he got fired as the Cardinal announcer by Anheuser-Busch. And I found him. We looked for several of his watering holes, and I found him at Bush's Grove on wow. Clayton Road there.
Yeah.
And I walked in. He said, "Ron, have a Schlitz." And the funny part of that, they didn't sell Schlitz at Bush's Grove. They had to send somebody out to get a six-pack because Harry wanted to drink Schlitz. And it was a memorable interview because he just absolutely unloaded on everything and everybody. And we rushed down Highway 40 with the interview to Channel 5. And we were still film in those days, if you can believe that or not. 6:15, they handed me the film back in projection. And they said, "What do you want to do?" I said, "What do you want to do with it?" to the producer in the booth. And he said, "Rack it up and roll it from the top." It was a huge story. Harry was bigger than the team in those days.
Right.
So we played several minutes of it at 6 o'clock news. At 6:35, the phone rings in the sports office, and it's Al Fleischman of Fleischman Hilliard Public Relations. He was Gussie Bush's left-hand and right-hand man. And he said, "Son, do you have any idea how much money Anheuser-Busch spends on Channel 5? I said, "No, sir." He said, "I suggest you find out, and I also suggest you don't reuse that interview again at 10. And I remember we called the general manager at home. He's, "Oh, my God, what are we going to do?" I said, "We're going to play it again at 10. And we played it again at 10. We had a half-hour newscast at midnight in those days, played it again the next day. And I paid for that for a long time because they remembered at the brewery that I did the Carey interview. But I used to see Harry at the ballpark, and when he was in with the Cubs, and he's, "I made you famous." I said, "No, Harry, you made me infamous, man." But people still come up to me and talk to me about that Harry Carey interview at Bush's Grove.
That's crazy. I never knew that. I was going to ask you if he was actually drinking Schlitz. I did hear that, but
oh yeah, that's true. It's in his book. It's in his book, the Schlitz beer thing. And I mean, I got to know Harry pretty well, but that was a memorable interview. People still talk to me about that thing.
That's crazy.
I was the only guy that found him that day.
That's crazy. I never knew that. Well, all the memorable things you do. I remember you on the Blues broadcast as well. What's some of the memorable things with the Blues? I mean, just, you know, going back with all the great players, Gary Unger, Mike Liut, Red Berenson.
Yeah, right.
You know,
I called Brett Hull's 500th goal, which I still fondly remember. But yeah, I was around the Blues for a lot of time, including the Solomons, our Sid Solomon III, when they owned the team. But I saw that this was the anniversary, I think, of Red Berenson's 6 goals in a game back in the first or second year of the Blues in Philadelphia. He scored 6 goals in one game, which tied the league record. Red's still alive. We inducted him a few years ago in the Hall of Fame. But yeah, Brett Hull was quite a character and a great goal scorer. But there were so many great players. Bernie Federko worked with me on the Blues broadcast, so I got to know Bernie really well. He was what a good guy. What a great player he was, by the way. There were so many. Al McGinnis. I mean, there were so many good guys. And the thing I tell about hockey players all the time is how down-to-earth they were, how cooperative they were. Only one time in all the years I was around the team doing games and doing pre- or post-game, only one time did a player tell me no. And I won't go into why, because he was corrected by Blues management when they found out about it. But they're very cooperative guys. Many of them back in those days, anyway, it's become much more of an international game. But many of them back in those days were from small towns in Canada. They were farm boys. They were just happy to be there. They make so much money now, Greg. It's unreal.
Right. They used to have to have a second job during the summer.
The young guys did. Yeah, absolutely. The young guys did. I remember asking Bernie Federko one time how much money he made, the most he ever made. And I think it was a little over $200,000.
No, crazy.
That won't get you anything. You know, right. That won't get you the trainer.
That's right. That's a bag of pucks.
That's right. That's right. But those were great days. You know, and the Blues were, they captivated this town. Dan Kelly was my mentor. He taught me just about everything I knew about the hockey and about the Blues. And
what a
Dan
great guy.
Died far too young. Yep. Far too young.
Well, we got about a minute left, Ron.
That's fine. Those were great days. My major disappointment in my career is when they called me in after I did the year of play-by-play and said, we're gonna replace you. We need another Kelly in the booth. And it was Danny Kelly, one of Dan's young boys, for whatever reason, they wanted another Kelly. That was probably my greatest disappointment in all the years of broadcast. But those things happen, you know.
Right. Okay. Well, Ron, I want to thank you so much for hanging out with us here tonight.
Hey, it was fun, Greg. Thank you. Thank you. And keep up the good work, and remember the great female driver that you knew.
Yes, my friend Danica Patrick. Well, Ron,
yes,
thanks a lot.
Danica.
Come back and join us another time, will you please?
I'd love to. I'd love to, Greg. Thank you much.
All right. Thanks so much. Folks, that's Ron Jacober. We'll be back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.